Well, we want to get a little preview of this interleague series, and we're going to bring in one of the better broadcasters, one of the best in the business. I've worked with him for years. We call him the captain. We used to rattle the lumber every day on behalf of Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. But he's back from Houston, and he's still the number one guy with the A's broadcast team, and that is the captain, Ken Korak. How are you this morning?
Hello, Marty. How are you?
I'm doing great. Come on, you're the captain. I got you back.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, thanks for the introduction.
Well, and so everyone knows why we call him the captain. And, of course, when Bill King passed away, Ken stepped up, and he became the captain of the broadcast crew, just like Pee Wee Reese for my youth with the Dodgers. So you'll always be the captain.
Well, it's a flattering thing. I'm glad you mentioned it. I don't know that I could ever live up to that, Marty, but I appreciate it.
All right. Well, Interleague starts today. And as I said, over the last few years, the Giants have kind of crept back into this thing with the A's. But now this A's team, a win away last year from, I think, being a World Series team, should have been A's and Giants in the World Series. How is it going this year for the green and gold?
Well, it's going well, Marty. As you know, they just finished a great series against the Astros, and I think the easy thing to say is, well, you should beat the Astros because they have the worst record in baseball, but you still have to play the games. And so they've taken care of business against them, and they're 9-0. It's been an interesting year because everybody has to deal with injuries, as you know, and the Giants know that as well as anyone. But you can make the case that as Coco Crisp goes, so go the A's. And he's back in the lineup playing every day, and he's been, as of 2 days from today, this coming Wednesday, that'll mean exactly 2 weeks since he's been back with the club, Marty, since he came off the DL. The A's have only lost 2 games since he's been back from the DL. So he's a big factor. And like any club, they've got to pitch. And their pitching for the last 2 or 3 weeks has been a lot better than it was earlier. Ironically, they were having a tough time getting their starting pitchers, Marty, deep in the games, and that has really changed. And as you know, that's got to be the foundation for any club.
Well, you know, I remember all the years of the A's and in Interleague. They always had so much success in Interleague because the National League team would come over. The A's would start working the count and taking the pitches, and all of a sudden the National League team didn't know what was going on. Now, baseball has changed now. You know, everyone's trying to do that and work the count and get the starting pitcher out of the game. But the offensive philosophy for the ball club has always been that. Are they doing that? Where are they in walks in the league?
And they're leading the world in walks.
All right, so it's still happening.
They've walked over 200 times, so and that's been the case since the very beginning of the year. But it's a little bit, you know, I think the A's have always felt that maybe some of that was a little deceiving in terms of their own philosophy. You talked to Bob Melvin and Chili Davis about their philosophy. It's all a matter of getting a good pitch to hit. So their sense is if the first pitch is a fastball right down the middle, belt high, they want those guys to pull the trigger. Now, it's a matter of not swinging at bad balls. And as you know, Marty, there are a lot of hitters that help out the pitcher, swinging at pitches out of the zone. You really don't have to be terribly discerning. You know, there are certain situations where you want to be more aggressive than others, Marty, but they want to swing the bat if it's a good pitch to hit.
Yeah, Chili Davis brought that philosophy. It's funny, I talked to him a couple of years ago, and he said, no, this is what I want to do. I told him, good luck. But he really has pulled it off, and he's doing it with guys who can hit the ball out of the park. Donaldson's got tremendous power. Giants have to be careful with him. And I say Cespedes, Ken, you'll tell me how he's doing this year, but I look at him as probably the most powerful hitter in the game today.
Well, he has 9 home runs, so the power's been there. And like Coco, he spent a couple of weeks on the DL. Excuse me, but his average is down around 219. So we've been waiting for him to break out, Marty, and this might be the time. He's got a little bit of a hitting streak going. He hasn't been red hot. Had a couple hits yesterday in Houston, but I don't think that we've seen the Cespedes that we'll see once he gets going. And you're right. I mean, when he's on his game, he can carry a club. Now, they had 32 home runs a year ago from Josh Reddick, and he remains on the DL, scheduled to go on a rehab assignment and begin that tonight. But they'd love to get him back because that's a lot of power that's missing from the lineup as well.
Well, I see Chris Young. I'm looking at my workup for today against Bumgarner, 7-for-14 with a homer. So obviously he's seen him from Arizona. What do you see as a lineup today, and who DHs for the A's today?
Well, I haven't seen the lineup yet, Marty, but the only question would be whether Seth Smith would play against a left-hander, which he did yesterday. because the Astros started Dallas Keuchel, left-handed pitcher, but they have a real intriguing kid named Nate Freiman, who I would assume would play first base against the lefty today. Had a double and a home run yesterday. Rule 5 pick, who actually was with the Padres, was drafted by the off the Padres roster by the Astros, and then for some reason they let him go right at the end of spring training. The A's picked him up, and he has a 900 OPS against left-handed pitching, so I'm sure he'll be in there, and you'll see Cespedes and Coco Crisp and Chris Young, probably Rosales at short, Lowry at second, Donaldson at third. I would assume you'd see Derek Norris behind the plate. Josh Donaldson, I'm glad you mentioned him, Marty. It's going to be almost impossible to make the All-Star team at third base in the American League because you have Cabrera and you have Beltre and you have Longoria. But we've made the case that he is really deserving of that kind of consideration. This kid has had a sensational year offensively and defensively. He's been the A's most consistent player all year.
Well, as I say, the bullpen is important, but, you know, you got to do your starting pitching and at least get to the bullpen. Today, Dan Straley. He's out of the Marshall University, right, Ken?
Young man. Marshall. He's from Oregon, actually. He was a kid that went to high school up in Oregon.
24 years old, and Straley, his last game against Texas was outstanding. But at home, as just, you know, looking at the numbers, he's struggled a little bit. What do you expect from Straley? What should we expect from him?
Well, the game that he pitched against the Rangers on the last road trip when the A's went down there, Marty, and took 2 out of 3 was the best game he's ever pitched. And I think one of the things, and Curt Young, and I know how much respect you have for Curt as the A's pitching coach, and they just went after the Rangers hitters. And he was using his fastball. He was very aggressive early in the count, and pitched with a tremendous amount of confidence. And that's the best that we've seen him pitch. So if he can build upon that, you know, the A's will be in good shape against the Giants today. The A's bullpen is lights out. You mentioned the Balfour 28 consecutive saves, and it's not just Balfour. Sean Doolittle, who's one of the best stories in baseball, has an ERA of under 1. They have Cook to set up, as you know. Jerry Blevins is having a great year. So the A's bullpen ERA by far is the best in the American League right now.
You know, this is actually a big deal, this series. And, you know, interleague, I'm looking forward to it, honestly. And for these two teams, I said, you know, the A's are a win away from getting in the World Series last year because they would have wiped the Yankees out. The Yankees were done. And now these four games, you know, the A's have cut it back to 4.5 behind Texas. The Giants are in a tough three-team race, and their pitching has not kicked in yet, so they're not running away from anybody. These are four good games today in the Bay Area.
It'll be fun. There's going to be a huge crowd out there today, and there's always a great deal of energy. You know, the game that Bumgarner pitched against the A's last year on a Saturday afternoon was that wild game that the Giants won 9-8, Marty, when Brandon Hicks came up in the ninth inning for the A's and hit a ground rule double. And if the ball stays in play, if it just hits the wall and bounces back, then the A's tie the game. As it was, they scored 4 in the ninth and lost 9-8. So there is a lot of energy. And it's, you know, it's fun for me to go and see all the Giants broadcasters and Kruk and Kipe and Dave Fleming and John Miller. And so we're going to have some fun with it as well.
Yeah, you know, there's been a – well, you do games in the American League with the DH and all that. Now, all of a sudden, you know, because of all these interleague games, they're talking about the DH in the National League. It's created a lot of trouble, this discussion. How do you feel about that?
Well, I really think, Marty, that with – and we've debated the merits of interleague play, and we don't have to go through that again today, but as long as it's here to stay, and you're going to play 20 games, which is an awful lot during the course of a season. And the other thing is it's not – the remember the schedule used to be compressed where you kind of get it out of the way, and if you were an American League team and your pitchers had to hit and run the bases, which – and no American League manager, honestly, Marty, is comfortable with that. It's kind of a necessary part of interleague play, but nobody likes to have to do it. Now it's spread out over the entire season. And I really think, and we were talking on the air the other day with Vince and Ray Fossey about, I just think the time has come for them to seriously consider trying to play the game with one rule. It just doesn't seem right that you have two different rules in the two different leagues, and then you kind of have to do that back and forth in the interleague play.
Yeah, I know. They're talking about it, amongst other things, replay and all that. We had a couple of incidents over the weekend that said, boy, replay's got to get here soon. But I'll tell you, National League ball, it's so different. You'd hate to give that up, but you're right.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
You know, when I was working in AAA ball, I always worked for National League affiliates, and so we had the kind of the best of both worlds where you would see a lot of National League ball, but also DH ball. How many people come to the ballpark and want to see the pitcher swing the bat? Do you think eventually National League fans, because you're more closely tied into this than I am, do you think eventually National League fans would adjust to the DH? and say, you know, maybe it's not such a bad thing to have another hitter in the lineup?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And you know why? It's not that you come. excuse me. It's not that you come to the park and not want to see the pitcher hit. It's Pat, you can jump in. It's the philosophy of the game. It's the way the game is played. It's the strategic part of the game. Where, you know, the American League, you know, Mark Gardner says it's just rip it. You know, you got nine guys who just come up and hit. But the National League game, you angle towards the eight hitter, the nine hitter. The runs are a little bit tougher to get. And I think it's just the philosophy of watching that kind of game as opposed to seeing the pitcher hit.
Well, and if that's the case, and I'm sure that your comments echo those of a lot of people, then you're probably going to be stuck with the way it is. And there's something inherently, I think, wrong about having to play with two different rules.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Pat, what do you say?
Yeah, hey, Ken, Pat Connor here. Glad to have you
Pat,
on the show.
Hey, Pat, how are you, man?
Fantastic. And for me, it's as simple as if you don't own a baseball glove, you're not a baseball player, right? I mean, you go up to Seattle and they have, what do they have, Edgar Martinez Way or something, and he was great with the bat, but come on, if you ain't got a glove, you can't be a baseball player. And Ken, I know that the Giants won't see Bartolo Colon over in the series, but can you tell, for a chunky guy like me, to see Bartolo Colon go out there and deal, what that guy's all about, throwing fastballs almost exclusively. Just give us a little insight on what makes Bartolo Colon so good.
Well, he's a marvel, Patrick. He turned 40 on Friday, so yesterday was his first game as a 40-year-old. Had nine strikeouts. The thing that's amazing about him, he's only walked four batters all year. Now, you think about that. The season started April 1st. He's walked four batters for the entire year. And he can throw 87, 88 miles an hour. He'd kind of rather throw around there. High 80s with a lot of sink and movement on his fastball, but then when he needs it, he still has 94. Like in the first inning yesterday, the Astros had two on and two out, and this Carlos Corporan, their catcher, is up. And, you know, Bartolo's throwing in the high 80s, and all of a sudden, to go for the strikeout, he throws 94 and he blows him away. So he's a marvel. He's 5-2. His ERA is under 4, and he's a great role model, I think, from the standpoint for any kid to watch Bartolo Colon pitch, because it all starts with the fastball. I mean, any pitching coach will tell you that. Work quickly, throw strikes, and get ahead with your fastball, and that's what he does.
Well, and also you don't have to be in great shape, and you get it done.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's
he's kind of the everyman.
Listen, that's Patrick.
Giving us all hope, Ken.
Look at how Patrick prefaced the question.
That's him. I'm looking right at him. You know,
so
you
some put of these schlubby guys.
You put an A's uniform on Pat, and he's
right.
Bartolo Colon.
That's right. I can throw a fastball.
The one thing about Bartolo is that he takes the ball every day.
Yeah, he does.
You know, he's been out there for every one of his starts. So I think sometimes the looks can be a little bit deceiving, because if he wasn't a pretty good athlete, believe me, he wouldn't still be getting major league hitters out at the age of 40.
No, he is. No, there's no doubt about it. He's the old Mickey Lolich in that look, and Fernando, yeah, and people like that. Hey, you want to stay with us for another second or two? We'll take a quick
sure.
break. I'd like to get your take on the rest of the series and the pitchers we're going to see, and also whether there's a buzz over in Oakland around the ball club about this interleague series and what you expect for a crowd today as well. All right, Ken Korak, the captain, will be with us. We'll take a break and be right back here on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the sports leader. Now back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on the sports leader.
I always enjoy that Ken Korak is with us. I always enjoy the tweets. Are you on Twitter, by the way?
Me?
Yeah. Yes, you.
What? I'm not sure I understand the question.
All right. You're not on Twitter. All right. At Baseball,
hey,
Marty.
Vince Cofano has all that covered.
I understand. So. I see his tweets all the time at Vince Baseball, believe me. But someone tweeted in and wanted me to ask you this. How would you feel if the American League abandoned the DH and went back to traditional baseball?
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No. How would you feel about it?
I would not be in favor of it, because I think the American League has an identity now as a league that has the DH, Marty. And so I think that I would not be in favor of them if it's going to be uniform. And, of course, I come from the American League bias. If you're going to go and play with one rule, I would prefer that they had the DH through all of baseball. I do respect the fact that the National League game has been played this way for over a century and that people feel strongly about it. But, you know, I guess my inherent bias against the whole thing starts with the fact that I'm not a big fan of interleague play to begin with. And then to compound that, you have to play with two separate rules. And I just don't think that that's the best way to go for the game in terms of the fairness of trying to play the game the right way.
Well, you've picked up the legacy of the great Bill King. Bill never liked interleague.
Well, that's true, and there's a lot of reasons why I don't like it, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to have a good time at the ballpark today. So that's kind of the way I've approached it, and if the fans enjoy it and they enjoy going to the ballpark today, let's have some fun with it. And,
absolutely.
And certainly the games are meaningful. Obviously, they count in the standings.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's segue into the buzz about Interleague A's and Giants. I expect a big crowd out there today.
Yeah, I think it'll sell out. I'm not sure if it's sold out or not yet. It may be already. I haven't heard because we've been on the road for the last week, but there'll be a huge crowd. I'm sure it'll be sold out. And there's a great deal of interest in the series, and there's a great deal of interest in Bay Area baseball, Marty. I think it was great that both teams, I've always subscribed to the theory that I think it's great when both the A's and the Giants have good years, because that means that people are talking about baseball in the Bay Area. You know, I've never felt, well, if the A's were good and the Giants aren't good, that benefits the A's and vice versa. Look at last year when both teams won 94 games and both teams got to the postseason. People were talking about baseball, and sometimes that can be tough to do around here, as you know, when football season starts. So this A's team really captured the imagination of the fan base last year down the stretch, Marty, and people who have been going to the Coliseum since the A's moved out here in 1968. Will confirm the fact that the energy at the Coliseum at the end of the season last year was the best it's ever been. The vibe inside the ballpark, the feeling in there, and the amount of intensity. And so I'm sure you're going to see some of that over the next 2 days.
Yeah, and this should be a good two-game series over in Oakland. All right, so today we got Dan Straley. As you said, he's got to have his control. Jared Parker tomorrow, then Tommy Malone, then A.J. Griffin rounds it out when we get back to San Francisco. Give us just a quick capsule of those three pitchers.
Well, Jared Parker, I guess you could say right off the top, would have the best stuff of the three. He's been inconsistent, although he's been pitching much better recently. He made two starts in the postseason last year for the A's against the Tigers, against Verlander. And then Tommy Malone is a left-hander, kind of a, not to generalize too much, but he's a little bit of a prototypical lefty. Not a real hard thrower, but has tremendous command and outstanding changeup. And A.J. Griffin is the renaissance man of the club. Right-handed pitcher, University of San Diego, fastball around 90, has a good curve, slider, changeup. Marty speaks three languages fluently, including English, which sometimes is hard for you and I to do. Also is a wonderful guitar player, so, you know, he's a very well-versed individual, very, very layered in terms of the way that he kind of lives his life.
Well, I think he started against the A's, against the Giants last year. He made his debut, if I'm not mistaken, against the Giants, didn't he?
And Derek Norris hit a home run.
And that was the end of Casilla as a closer. That was the end of him. But
yeah.
Reminds me of the old Mo Berg line. Of course, he spoke seven languages and couldn't hit in any of them. So
that's exactly right.
But this is good. Well, I'm glad to have you on. Are the A's playing good baseball? I mean, you've covered them for so many years. You've been through the playoffs so many times. Are they playing good ball right now defensively? Are they playing the game correctly?
They've only made one error, I think, in the last nine games, Marty.
Wow, okay.
And last weekend when they were home, they swept the three-game series against the Royals. They were all one-run decisions. They went down to Texas, which is, as you know, a very tough place to play, maybe right now the toughest place in the American League to play, and they won two out of three there, and then they swept Houston over the weekend. So they're playing extremely well, I think, in all facets of the game. So I know the Giants are coming off a good series as well. These are two good teams. I mean, these are two of the best teams in baseball. This is a series of two teams that are pushing to win a division. And, you know, you can't say that about all the series that are going to unfold this week. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, these could be two World Series teams when you all say it, said and done.
Well, let's hope so. It'd be a lot of fun. I know the A's. you know, I've had the chance to broadcast in six different postseasons.
I thought you were going to say this six different languages.
Yeah, since I've been with the A's, six postseasons, last 13 years, but we haven't been to the World Series since I've been with the club, so yeah. That would be a lot of fun.
Well, I will tell you, it's a lot of fun, and it's even more fun when you win it.
I'm sure.
Not bad. Yeah. All right, have a good day today. I appreciate you being on, and I think we set up this series really well. This is a very competitive series, and today we have Dan Straley and Madison Bumgarner and a full house out in Oakland, so you can't ask for more on Memorial Day. So have a good day, Ken.
Thank you, Marty. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is the great Ken Korak, right? As Gary would say, the great Ken Korak.
The captain.
I call him the captain. Pee Wee Reese was the captain for the Dodgers, put his arm around Jackie Robinson. I thought when Bill King passed away and Ken made a beautiful eulogy about Bill at the memorial service over at the Coliseum, he stepped up. And he became really the voice of the A's, so that's why I call him the
big shoes to fill,
yes.
And Ken's done,
and he's done
a damn good job.
Yes, he's done it.
Yep.
He really has, and he loves the game. He's another passion for the game.